Well, thanks again for having me back. Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and so last week we had the stories of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The week before that you had Doubting Thomas. But every week that we are in, we are sort of heading towards Pentecost. It seems that wherever you are in the church calendar, you're always heading somewhere, whether it's Advent or Good Friday or the Resurrection. So where we are at the moment is in this period of going towards Pentecost. And in that going towards Pentecost, we get to see really into the heart and the character of Christ as he is risen. And so the readings for today reflect that in what they call Good Shepherd Sunday. And so I picked the two verses which were in the readings, which is the Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. And I would wager that every person in this room is familiar with Psalm 23. You all know it. You've all heard it. It's probably stuck on a paper on the back seat of your toilet. It's just one of those things that every Christian just seems to have that psalm in their mind. The one thing is that the psalm is generally told or read out at funerals. But the psalm itself is actually a present psalm. The author of the psalm is writing to you saying that the Lord is my shepherd. And so with that in mind, we come to my message today, which is all about the Good Shepherd. And as I was reflecting on this during the week, this is a sermon that's probably more for me than it is for you, but I also want to share it with you too. And so I find that in the world we have many voices that we are pulled by, many voices that can try and lead us astray, can try and lead us away, can try and diminish us. Voices of fear, of shame, voices of anxiety, and voices telling us that we must carry everything alone. And they pull us in all these different directions. And it's into this that Jesus says that the thief does not come only to steal, but to kill and to destroy. I've come so that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. And so with that in mind, we then come into what the psalmist says, where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, King David wrote that psalm. And when King David is telling us this psalm, he is speaking of someone from experience. If those of you who know David's story, David was a shepherd before he was a king. He was the youngest child and of Jesse. And even when David was being picked to be the next king, he wasn't even there. When Samuel came to the house, David was out in the field. When all of Jesse's sons were there, they were all tall and strong and handsome and all the rest of it. But Samuel said, "It's none of these. Is there any more?" And Jesse said, "Well, there's David, but he's out with the sheep." So when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's not just speaking in poetic language. He's speaking as someone who has been a shepherd and who has been shepherded. The Lord is his shepherd through all the trials that he's been through, when he went and fought the giant, when he was a soldier, when he was in exile, when Saul wanted to kill him, when he became king, when he made mistakes. And so David turns to us and he says that the Lord is my shepherd. Such a personal way to phrase it. Not the Lord is the good shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, but he is mine, my shepherd. It's a personal language. It's a language of trust, a language of belonging. God does not merely relate to us as a crowd. God does not see this as a congregation of Sydenham Caroline Springs. He sees this as every person as an individual, one to which he knows by name. That struck me when I first became a Christian when I was 18, that God would know you so personally and so intimately. A king has subjects, but that's exactly what you are, a subject. Well, to David and to us, we are known by name. And that was something that gave him strength and courage. And this is why he writes this psalm. In John 10, Jesus says, "The shepherd calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out." So when we feel overlooked, we feel unseen in our suffering, and we feel that we are just one among many, we take solace that the shepherd knows our name. One thing I did as I was writing this was I went to the early church fathers. So these are the first generation of Christians after the time of Christ, just to see what they would say about this, because they all seem to have written on this idea of Christ as the Good Shepherd. It seemed to be a favorite topic of theirs. And here's a few things I came across. So St. John Chrysostom said that Christ does not drive the sheep by terror, but he leads them by a voice they learn to trust. Now, the reason I thought that was important is because when you really look at why you're a Christian or why you're here in church or whatever, it's based on a relationship, or at least it should be. Because many people, their experience of religion has only been one as a burden. One that's full of pressure, one that's full of fear, one that's full of rules. And I'm pretty sure we've all come across someone, or we've all been in a church or whatever, when you've met a pastor or a minister or a priest or whoever, whose job they felt like was to fleece the flock. But this is different, where this is saying that the early church, the first church, was sort of saying that Christ is not there to drive you by terror, but he's to lead you by a voice that you've learned to trust. Not implicitly, but a voice that you've learned to trust by your relationship with him. Over the different times that you've been in dark valleys, you've been on the hill, you've been in the green pastures, you've learned to trust the voice that is leading you. He doesn't climb over a wall like a thief. He comes openly, truthfully, and lovingly. Jesus says, "I am the gate." St. Augustine, another church father, reflected that Christ is not only the shepherd who leads us, he is also the gate with whom we enter safely. And there we enter into safety, pasture, and we enter into a life with God. He does not merely point to us a life from a distance, but he brings us into it. One of the things I used to like about something that Pope Francis had said was that he said to all of his bishops and priests and stuff, was that they had to be in front of the sheep, they had to be in the midst of the sheep, and they had to be behind the sheep. That you had to be as one of them. You had to have the smell of the flock on you. It's quite wonderful, because he sort of had seen that it can get into a time where people sort of get out ahead of the flock and sort of like to tell what people do, as opposed to getting amongst them. And if you've ever been to a baptism in the Catholic Church or anything like that, you'll see, and there's a bishop there, he always has this regalia on with a staff and all this kind of thing, and the Pope does as well. But when I was a kid, I thought it was Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, this staff, but it's actually a shepherd's stick. And so they still use that symbolism, is that you're there to comfort, to guide, to defend, to be amongst them. You live amongst the sheep. You don't leave the sheep and go away, but you're there to be amongst them. And Psalm 23 reminds us of this. And we come to this really, it's the one which I say is the reason why it gets read at funerals all the time, is the verse where it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Modern translation of this would be, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil." Now, I really love this verse for a number of reasons. But one thing is it tells me that there are going to be valleys. It doesn't say that you're never going to go through a hard time. And if you aren't in a hard time, then you will be. But we all go through these times where we're on the mountain, and then sometimes we're in the valley. And the beautiful thing about the psalm is that David has said, "When I was at my lowest point," at multiple times, "you were there." That's a promise that's constantly throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's not the fact that you're completely absolved from suffering, or that you've got some sort of special, thing over you or anything like that. But it's the promise that even when you go through those times, you're not alone. that the shepherd is there with you. It does not say there are no valleys. It does not say the faithful never suffer. It does not say that the believers are spared grief, illness, loneliness, or loss. It lets us know that there are valleys, but we have a presence with us in the valley. And some valleys are long. I've been in a valley since October last year. Some valleys alter us. Some people can go through a valley and it changes who they are. I've seen that a lot in the hospital. I work in the neurology ward, so a lot of the patients that I have to see are people who have Parkinson's disease, or they've had a stroke, or they've had brain surgery, or they've got some sort of psychosis, or they're suicidal, or any different thing like that. And one thing that shocks me is that you go in to see them and they don't tell you about why they're in hospital. That doesn't come up. Something else comes up. My husband beat the crap out of me, or, you know, I don't want to live anymore, or, you know, they're the kind of things that they want to talk to you about, these things that are burdening them while they're stuck in the hospital. That's what they want to talk about. They want to talk about what it is that their valley has put them through. And it can alter them. People become incredibly cynical, incredibly depressed. They lose hope. My life is forever different now. It'll never change. But we learn that through the valley that you just walk it one step at a time. And we hold on to that promise, which is a prayer. You are with me. That's something wonderful to remember for yourself. When you're in the midst of a valley and you're not sure, speak that to yourself as a reminder. You are with me. Write it on a piece of paper and put it on your mirror. You are with me. If you remember last week when I was here and I told you about the disciples on the road to Emmaus and the story of from C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, where the boy asks who the presence is and it says, I'm the one who was with you, and how comfort it gave him, and the fog drifted away. If there is a sense of absence, if there's a feeling, a sense of loss that God is not there, then the absence is not with God, it's with me. Because God is always there. And that's a good thing to remind us, is the promise is that you are with me. There are some people here today who might be in green pastures. And if that is true, then thanks be to God. There may be some who are beside still waters. If that's true, thanks be to God. But I do know that there are some who will be in a valley. If that is you, then hear the promise. You're not abandoned there. The shepherd walks the valley too. My favorite quote from the church fathers that I found was from St. Ambrose, where he said, the shepherd does not despise the wounded sheep he carries at home. This morning I had on the PowerPoint, I had an image of Christ carrying the shepherd over his shoulders. The one thing I loved about that is that the image is beautiful, and you've probably seen it yourself, but what happens is that if a sheep gets separated from the flock and it's in a state of panic, or it's injured, or it's something like that, and the shepherd goes out to get the sheep, he doesn't lead the sheep back home. What he does is he puts the sheep over his shoulders and carries it back, because the sheep is in distress and becomes paralyzed and doesn't know what to move. The reason why in the psalm it says still waters and not a running river is because if a sheep falls into the river, the water will weigh it down and the river will take it away. If it's still waters, the shepherd can jump in and pull him out. So when St. Ambrose had said this, the shepherd does not despise the wounded sheep, but he carries it home. I think that's a beautiful truth for us to lay hold of, because sometimes we do get into this point where we're lost, we wandered off, we tripped over, we're damaged, we're hurt, we're whatever you want to put in that space there. And you think, I'm unlovable, I'm unwanted, I'm unworthy, God doesn't want me, I'm ashamed. Well, according to the early church, they said that the shepherd does not despise you because you're wounded, but he carries you home. The journey is too great for you, I'll carry you home. This is the heart of Christ. He does not shame the tired. He does not discard the weak. He does not abandon the lost. The words and the works of a shepherd. He seeks, he restores, he protects, and he carries. And remember, Jesus had said, I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. That's deeper than comfort. I don't want you just to survive. I want you to live. When I said the valleys alter us, people can go through a valley and they're just surviving. He doesn't want you just to survive. He wants you to live. That looks like peace and turmoil, hope and sorrow, forgiveness after failure, courage and fear, communion with God, and a love that death cannot destroy. A lot of our problems I've found is, and this is more truth for me than anybody else, is that we are trying to be our own shepherds, trying to manage every danger, trying to solve every burden, trying to survive by strength and for will alone. We are sheep and we're trying to dress ourselves up as wolves. But sheep are not saved by becoming a wolf. They are saved because they live and they stay near the shepherd. Perhaps that is Christ's invitation to us today. Lay down that was never yours to carry alone. That's something I needed to do and I still need to do. I need to lay down that burden that is not mine to carry alone. It's a very, very quick way to enter into burnout when you do that. And if you live in a state of burnout long enough, burnout turns into a breakdown. So we stay near the shepherd, hear that invitation and lay it down because it's not ours to carry that burden alone. Turn from the voice that exhausts you. Listen again for the voice that knows your name. For the Lord is our shepherd, and the good shepherd has come that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. And if you agree with that, I want you to say amen.
Amen.